glad to have you here at Promised Land, and everybody that's watching online this morning, we're glad to have you as well, wherever you're watching from. Welcome to the Promised Land. And I want to make sure everybody has a chance to be able to worship God in your finances. At Promised Land, we give you that opportunity to give, because it's an expression of our, it's a posture towards God of submission and recognition that He's our provider. So at Promised Land, there's multiple ways you can do that. You can give, those of you in the house can give with an envelope in the seat back in front of you, cash or check. If you're online or maybe in the house and want to give via phone, you can go to our website or you can text the word Promised Land, all one word, to 73256, or you can mail a check in as well. All of those online options or digital options feed into one place called Realm, and that's our online community. And we'd love for everybody that's a regular attender of Promised Land to get, you know, be a part, a login to Realm. Go to our website to get that link, and it's just a great place to post prayer requests, find out about groups. So you'll hear a lot about Realm at Promised Land, and there's things like that and other things that we want to share with you immediately after this service. Go over, if you're brand new to Promised Land, you'd like more information, we'd love for you to come to what we call Next Steps, and that's today in the Student Center. It's going to start around 11:30. We have lunch provided for you. Your kids can hang out with other kids, and it's just a time for me to get to know you face to face, learn your name, information about you, your family. You get to learn about us, ask us questions, and take your next steps at Promised Land and with God, local church, and personal walk with God. So we'd love for you to do that. This service is growing, and we anticipate over the next month and 6 weeks for there to be a lot more people coming back to church. So I'm asking a few of you in this service in particular to make a move to either the 8:30 service, and really 8:30 is the service with the most space, but if you want to sleep in a little bit, you can come to the 11:30 service. But I anticipate this service getting more full and becoming full. And we want to make sure we have space for all the guests that come in. And for some reason, like 10 o'clock is the time that new people want to come to church. So we call it a mission field. You're called on a mission, but you don't have to go to Mexico or Guatemala. You just go to the 8:30 service. Just get up a little bit earlier and go to that service. Some of your earlier risers anyway, so it wouldn't be too tough. I want you to look at this picture. This guy's named Peter McGuire, and great mustache. I'd love to have a mustache like that, but my wife won't let me. But in 1882, 139 years ago, he's the one that suggested we have a Labor Day. All right, I like this guy. He was the chairman of this group called the Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners. It was a union. And he suggested setting a day aside as a general holiday for the laboring classes. And he wanted to create Labor Day to honor, quote, those who from rude nature delved and carved all the grandeur we behold. So he wanted to set a day aside in America for, you know, the working people that got their hands dirty, miners, factory workers, people that didn't get a lot of credit. This is right at the end of the Civil War. There was a lot of slaves that were trying to figure out what life was going to be like after that. And so some of these people didn't ever have a day off. This is a big deal. And so happy Labor Day, everybody. How many of y'all do not have tomorrow off? You got to work tomorrow? Man, sorry. Do you feel appreciated at work? Just in general, everybody in here, is a question for everybody. Do you feel appreciated where you work? No, okay. Yes, this is church, be honest. Unless you work at the church and then you're... Do you feel thanked? Do people thank you at work? And as I approach today's message and I'm talking about working in a job, I know there's some of you that are students and maybe you work part-time somewhere, so you can apply this to your part-time job. But more importantly, I want you to apply this to your school, because this is your schooling is where you are working right now. This is what is in front of you. And so when I'm talking about working, I want you to think about Algebra 2 and World Geography and English 4 or whatever you're in, and think about it that way. And then there's some people in here that maybe are retired, but you have something in front of you. So think about that. So work, are you appreciated? I have a bigger question I want to ask you. Do you think God appreciates what you do at work? Have you even thought about that? I mean, does God thank you for what you do, for working at your job? Like, Teresa, great job making that burrito at Chipotle today. That was amazing. You spread the cheese just right. You got the lettuce on there. Thank you for doing that. God thanks us for what we do? It's an odd concept. It's a weird thing to try to wrap your head around, but really the principle is, or the, maybe the better question is, does my job matter more than my paycheck? Is there a spiritual component to my job? And you might be thinking, well, yeah, when my paycheck comes, I feel good. That's a spiritual moment for me. You know, when I get a raise, I feel spiritually better. Or the opposite, when people are rude to me at work, it makes me angry and I get spiritually depressed or overcome with emotion. So I want to talk to you today about work and what the spiritual aspect of work is. You may never even have considered this, that your work has a spiritual component to it. Even if you don't work for a church, or even if you don't work for a nonprofit, or whatever, wherever you go, whatever you do, let's look at the Bible. Let's look at what the Bible says about this. And we're going to start at the very beginning, the second chapter of the Bible, Genesis 2. It says in Genesis 2 and 2, on the seventh day, God finished his work. So God's working here at the very beginning of the Bible. God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So that's important. If you write in the Bible or take notes, circle, highlight, work. I want you to understand from the very beginning that God works. That work is a God thing. That's important. And some of you may think work's from the devil. The Bible tells us it's not, because it shows up before the devil shows up. Work is there, and God is working. God's never going to do anything that's sinful. So he's working. But what about people? Well, if we keep reading in that chapter, Genesis 2, we see where people start working. That's in Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to what? To work it. To work it. And to keep it. So what that means is stewardship. God put Adam and Eve in the garden for a reason. He wanted them to manage it. He wanted them to steward it. And, there wasn't a Chipotle then, there wasn't a CFAN then, or, a school system, or wherever you work, whatever you do. But there was gardening, and that was what was in front of them, and that's what God told them to do. So he expected them to do that, and have dominion over the animals, name the animals, take care of the animals, tend to the Garden of Eden, a beautiful thing. God establishes work for humans in the beauty of the garden, in the perfection of the garden. But look at this very next verse, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. I just think it's really interesting that there's a verse that introduces us to the idea of work, and immediately after that scripture about introducing the idea of work is the idea of sin. immediately after the idea of work, that God combines these. And isn't it interesting at work how quickly we can make it about ourselves and not about God? Because we think, well, man, I got to pay for stuff. I got to go to work, right? Or I want to go on vacation, so I'm going to work overtime. You know, where we gear work around ourselves instead of around God. And part of that is just because it's the practical nature of it, right? Work gives us money. We like money. And so we think we have to do it in order to get the money, in order to do things. And it gets all out of sorts quickly. And work becomes about the advancement of ourself or the protection of our future instead of trusting God. He's the one that instituted work, and he's the one that told us to work, but we take that and we make it about ourselves instead of about God. And it happens so quickly. I believe that's why God introduces that scripture about sin right in the same context of his introduction of work, because we are trying to produce for ourselves, advance ourselves, protect ourselves, avoid certain things in order to be safer or more comfortable in life, instead of doing it to honor God, because God's the one who put it in front of us. So that's the Old Testament, Genesis 2, the very beginning of the Bible. God institutes work, and then first God works, then he institutes it for humans, but then he institutes this idea of sin. He introduces the idea of sin. I want us to go to the New Testament. There's the same pattern in the book of Colossians, the 3rd chapter, the 23rd verse. It says, work willingly at whatever you do. That's a very broad statement, isn't it? Work willingly at whatever you do. If you own the business, work at it. If you don't own the business, work at it like you own the business. Have ownership. Work at it. Care about it. Think about it. Work willingly at whatever you do. Remember, students, you may be thinking, I don't know if I want to turn that assignment in. Do I really need to turn that assignment in? It's not a test grade. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Instead of trying to earn the approval of parents and get a good grade at school, or instead of trying to work and make money to impress your spouse with something. No. Or, you know, I think most people would say, well, I'm working for my boss. If you own your own company, you're working, your boss is the customer. Whoever's paying you, that's who you're working for. This scripture is very important. Colossians 3, 23, work willingly at whatever you do as though you're working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. Actually, in the scripture right before this, it's talking about no matter what your status of life is, if you're a servant, you know, even if you're struggling and you're bound to someone, the scripture is saying, I want you to get this in your mindset. God's trying to tell you, I want you to get this in your mindset. You're not working for another human. You're not working for yourself. You're not working for a spouse or family member. No, you're working for the Lord. This is what God is telling us. It's really commanding us. Work. Go to work. And do it as though you're working for the Lord. So that's just like Genesis 2:15, where he put Adam and Eve in the garden and said, work it. Tend to it. Steward over it. Now look, Colossians 3:25 follows that passage. It's the immediate next verse, and it introduces the idea of sin again. It says, but what if you do what is wrong? You'll be paid back for the wrong that you have done. For God has no favorites. So it introduces in verses 23 and 24 the idea that we need to work. And then it introduces in 25 that when we reject God's plan for our life, let me say that one more time, When we reject God's plan for our life, we're rebelling against Him. That's sin. And it's like God knows how quickly we can corrupt our idea of work. And you might be thinking, well, I don't work at somewhere that does stuff illegally or immoral or anything like that. Yeah, but if we take even a good thing like teaching or pastoring or, landscaping or, things that are good for the world around us, and we make it about ourselves, or we think we're doing it for ourselves, we have disobeyed God. Man, I'm hoping that this is actually liberating for people today to get out from under the bondage of your work and understand that there's a better way. So let me just try to make this really, really clear. If my rejection of God's direction to work is sin, then my obedience to God to work is worship. It's just that simple. This is what I want you to grab a hold of today, that your work is worship. Your work is worship. You should write that down. You should think about that. You should tweet that. It's a good tweet. There it is. My work is worship. Now, we think about worship as being the songs that we just sang. That's worship. We're going to sing again before we leave. That's worship. Or giving money. We talk about that. That is worship. Yes, that's worship. Giving money to the Lord through the local church, that is worship. But when you go to work, that's worship too. When you go to school and you give it your best, you're obeying God, that's worship. Remember what it said, whatever you do, whatever's in front of you, you're doing it unto God, you're being faithful to God to do it, that is worship. So our attitude of laziness or our attitude of self-advancement is not worship. Sometimes the problem that we have with work is not that it's bad and we hate it, we don't like it. Sometimes work is very rewarding to us. We're good at it. We make money. We advance in our company. We own the company, whatever it is, and we're successful, and we can become addicted to that ourselves and become in the mindset can come and think, I'm in charge here. I've got this under control. I'm God. That's not worship either. That is rebellion. That's disobedient. At other times, we become bound by it. We don't like it. We're stuck at a dead-end job. There's people there that don't like us. So I want to introduce to you the idea today that God doesn't want you just to survive at work. He wants you to be a steward at work. This is not about survival. It's about stewardship. And I just want you to know, I looked in the Bible this week. I looked all over the Bible, and I just couldn't find it in Scripture anywhere where it says, stay home and collect unemployment. I couldn't find it. I looked. That is not biblical. I couldn't find it. No, I'm not going to say it. If we have the mindset that other people owe us or that I'm going to coast or whatever, that is not the biblical model that God is calling His people. There's going to be great reward for you. Look at Proverbs 16:3. It says, commit your work to the Lord. And that's what I want all of us to do in here. Commit your work to the Lord. Whether you work at a factory, you work at a school, you work at your own business, you work at a church, inside, outside, in an office, in a cubicle, in a warehouse, commit your work to the Lord. If you're in school, commit your studies to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to do this because you've called me to do it, and I'm going to be obedient to you to do it. And there's been times in my work life that I have worked and I've produced. Man, I've worked hard because I felt like it was something that God called me to do. And man, I worked so hard at it. And then when I got to the end result of whatever it was that I was doing, it didn't really have the results that I wanted. And I was sad about it until I remembered, wait a minute, God didn't tell me to produce great results. He just told me to go to work. And I'm going to be faithful to what he called me to do and let him be in charge of the results. So if it doesn't line up with the thinking that I have for it, then I'm not going to get all caught up in that. I'm just going to say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to go to work today because you've called me to be a steward over this earth. And this is the earth you've put in front of me. Whatever that is, remember the scripture says, whatever you do, whatever is put in front of you, I want you to do it to the best of your ability. And then God can open up doors for you in your life. Your gifts will make room for themselves. And God is going to open up a door for you. You don't have to force it. You don't have to make it happen. It's what it says. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. And then Ecclesiastes 3:12. I believe this is just the classic Labor Day weekend verse right here. I don't know if Mr. McGuire or whatever thought of this verse, but it says, I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, that it is the gift of God. Eat, drink, and be merry. Come on, tomorrow, celebrate, hang out, go to a football game. I had to wear this because I had a great time at the football game last night with the Bobcats. Man, they almost beat the Bears. Have fun. Enjoy life. Eat and drink and enjoy the good of your labor. You've worked hard. Enjoy that. That is an offering you have to God. I'm giving you, Lord, my work week. I'm presenting it to you. I'm committing it to you. You can do that before you even go to work, at the end of work, as you're leaving. Lord, I give you this day as my gift to you. I'm being faithful to you. I want to enjoy what I do. And the only way I can do that is if I have the perspective that you're the boss, I'm working for you, I'm being faithful to you, and that you have control of not only my income, but you have control of the path of where that's going to lead. So would you stand to your feet right now? I want us to pray together. And we're gonna pray for everybody that is ready to jump into a relationship with God. There may be some of you listening to me today, maybe even online right now, that you're far from God, and the idea of working for God is very foreign because God's very far from you. Let's change that right now. Let's give our heart to God right now. Everybody that can hear me, you can pray a prayer of surrender right now and come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. So let's do that. Would you join with me and just pray with me right now? Heavenly Father, I surrender my heart to you right now. I make myself available to you. I welcome you into my life. Please help me. Please forgive me of my sin. There's a lot of things in my life that I've messed up, and I need your help. Please heal me. Heal me of my past. Please help me with my future. I'm calling on you, Lord, and I'm recognizing that I need a Savior. Jesus, you're my Savior. Come on, let's pray that. Let's declare that today, right now, in your own voice, in your own words. Lord, I need you, and I believe in you, Jesus. I trust in you today. I want to walk with you from this day forward. And then we can all jump in on this part of the prayer. Just say, God, whatever I do, I want to give it to you. I commit my work to you. Lord, please forgive me for making it about myself. Please forgive me for doubting that you're there. Please forgive me for thinking that it's all about me or my family, my money. Lord, it's not. It's all about following after you and being obedient to you. So God, I want to be on the right course. I want to do what's set in front of me. I want to work hard and be diligent with what's in front of me. And I pray that you would just fill me with your Spirit. Come on, let's all make it very clear to God right now. Lord, I want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to be led by your Spirit at work. And I want to be filled. Lord, I want your Spirit to go in front of me before I open my email, before I get on the job site. Lord, set it up for me. I'm praying, Lord, that your Spirit would lead me and guide me and fill me in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Come on, let's worship together.
Sing it out. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. That's my Jesus. That's my God. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it. Come on, if you believe it, declare that this morning. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Yes, you can. Yes, you have. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Yes, you have. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You're turning it around. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. And I'm gonna see a victory. And I'm gonna see a victory. Come on, church. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. And I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle.
With the Lord, be blessed. May his face shine upon you. Be gracious wherever you go. Be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, a city set on a hill. Go make a difference in Jesus' name. You're dismissed. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.